This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Wow, not planned to do anything today for two very good reasons. But first of all, I will welcome you to the Sheffield United Way. My name is Hal. We are going to be talking about the tumultuous events that have occurred with Sheffield United Football Club. So the two reasons we weren't thinking of doing anything today. Reason number one, but the most important reason, it's my birthday today. So I should really be out with my lovely wife for a meal right now. And the second reason is that In Good Nick is having a lovely holly bobs in Tunisia. So I'm going to bring Nick in. Nick, please join me. But I warn you, the internet situation has meant we've made a decision. Nick, explain.
We've made the decision that Hal is going to do this solo, only because my internet may not be the best. But Hal, you've ruined it already. I wanted to say happy birthday to Hal Stewart. Hope you've had a great day. We've already spoken about this, but I don't think you've had the best ones, have you?
They've been awful. Just the usual amount of grief that I get online. Can just don't even get a day off.
Let me just talk about this, right? Tunisia, I've gone to Tunisia for a week. In that time, we have played two games. We've conceded zero goals. League One Wes has been better than he's ever been before. We've defended well. We've been playing 3-5-2. Lost zero games. And to add insult to injury, mate, I've gone out on a no-internet Tunisian day out, and then I come back to this.
Yeah, I mean, Slavisa Jokanovic's reign at Sheffield United, it is over. He was appointed in May, but the experiment with United's first permanent foreign manager is officially over. He took charge of 22 games, 8 wins, 6 draws, and 8 defeats. United sit 16th in the championship table. Someone who's better at maths than me might have to work out where we'd be had Derby and Reading Football Club not been deducted those points. But it hasn't been the start that we all would have expected. I mean, Nick and I sort of estimate when we were working out from what you can find out online of Slavisa Jokanovic's wages and assistants, those of all that have been let go, we estimate that it'll be under £2 million payoff for Slavisa and his assistants. Former caretaker manager last season, Paul Heckingbottom, has now been installed as the club's new, and I want to get the term correct, football manager. Not just manager, we've gone with the term football manager for this one. He has agreed a contract through to the end of 25-26 season. He's, of course, the former, now, under-23 manager, and he will be in charge for Sunday's fixture against Bristol City. And he's brought with him some very popular names, Super Jack Lester, who becomes head of player development, and Stuart McCall, who is the new assistant manager, a former manager himself, a former defensive midfield player who I think it's fair to say every Blade really liked, and he should have played in that playoff final in 2003. Another coach will be appointed to Paul Heckingbottom's staff at some point. Apparently there's no real rush on that. So comment below your thoughts on Super Jack Lester and Stuart McCall, first of all, getting involved in the club and returning for in Stuart McCall's case to beautiful downtown Bramall Lane, which he did actually with Blackpool, but now he's back in a capacity where he's actually getting paid by the club. We do know, as fans, when interviewed, Slavisa Jokanovic, I'm sure, would have chatted about tactics. He would have chatted about the system, be that a 3-5-2 or close to it. He played 3-5-2 successfully with a Watford side that won promotion. And I'd imagine the implication from the board would have been not to do wholesale change rapidly. But as we saw with Slav, he changed to his old ways, his kind of tried and tested tactics for more games than not. And this wasn't always getting wins. He likes that four at the back. He'd used that most recently in Qatar. I think also one thing to consider is when you do play one up top and you've got what? How many strikers are at are at United, it's what it's a million, isn't it? So if you don't play all of them, or at least two, you are devaluing strikers that we have at the club. You're not playing them. So from limited game time, their value will decrease. And I'm just kind of playing a bit of devil's advocate and putting my ownership hat on and thinking that's obviously something that would have come into their consideration. So that's one. Now, do we expect 3-5-2 under Heckenbottom? Do we expect youth to be blooded? Do we see Zach Brunt, Kasper Lapata and Daniel Jefferson returning to the Sheffield United team? You know, in the cases of Lapata and Jefferson, it'd be a first experience of first-team football for Brunt for the Blades, because their loans could be, you know, in the case of Jefferson, ended early. We could see the other two back after that January closes with terms of when you can recall players. So it'll be interesting. What do you think on that? And would you want those players to be given a chance in the first team? So who stays and who goes? I think we saw from the press conference today that there will be outs more than there will be ins when it comes to the next transfer window. I think, let's be honest, money's probably going to have to be raised now rather than us going out spending. And let's look at that record. In 147 days for Slavica Kanovic, as mentioned earlier, 22 games, 8 wins, 6 draws and 8 defeats. So the 36% win ratio. Now, I don't really want to compare that with Paul Heckenbottom, because Paul Heckenbottom was kind of on a hiding to nothing in the Premier League. The Blades were already down. He only had 11 games. He won 3. He didn't draw any, because the Blades didn't draw too many games last season, and he lost 8. So that is a lower win percentage, but I think you've got to throw in some of the caveats around that. It really was a tough time for anyone. I also would say, still kind of want to defend Slav here as well, very tough time for Slavica Kanovic to come in, because you've got players who mentally, they're just crushed. They have just been suffering so many defeats, and he's got to try not only to pick them up, but also to change things, and to change things quickly. And I think the fact that he was given loan signings, and we don't know what was agreed. None of us were in those initial conversations when he was hired. We don't know what was agreed. It's safe to assume that he probably didn't say, I want just loan players, and that's unlikely. But he might have said he wanted specific positions, and then it was kind of maybe left to the head of recruitment to sort exactly how they were brought in, loans, permanent signings, whatever. As a result, it ended up being loans. We know wingers were a priority because of the way that Slav wanted to play. But we don't know when wingers became a priority. Because at the start of the season, you might remember, we weren't necessarily thinking when we were going. I remember that game, was it the Doncaster game? And I was thinking, that friendly, I was thinking, oh, okay, maybe this is how we're going to set up. No, that's not how we're going to set up. Luton, oh, we're back to 3 at the back. Oh, no, we're not. We're back to 4 at the back now. It was constantly changing, and I don't quite know when that decision of, all right, it's one up front with two wingers. I don't exactly know when that would have been decided. So that might also play into it as well when it comes into exactly what was agreed. And people will say a contract until 2026, but wasn't Paul Heckenbottom good enough for the job in the summer? What's changed in 6 months that now Paul Heckenbottom is the best man for the job when he wasn't before? Because he's still the same guy. I mean, how much can he have learned? I don't know. You know, that one has really surprised me. So let's look at some of the quotes from the hierarchy. The chairman, Youssef Gyantsirikusa. I hope I've pronounced that right. We look forward to embarking on a new era in Blades football with Paul at the helm. He's talking about Paul Heckenbottom. Paul possesses the personal leadership qualities and technical football skills the board feels are essential to successfully implement the board's strategic directives. He shares our values and interests in player development while also possessing the ambition and determination to get the most out of our current squad. We are convinced that Paul will play a leading role in improving all aspects of football operations. Stephen Bettis, United's chief executive officer, I was mentioning how disappointing the slow start was. We've not seen an improvement, he says, in results, performances, and we prefer to be in a better league position. A decision has been made, and now it is important that we look forward. Paul's style and ethos matches that of the club, and we will support him where possible. We have enough league games remaining. We know we have the ability and resources within our playing squad to start picking up points and climbing the league table. And Hal Stewart, that's me, I said, can we all agree that Nick is never allowed to go on holiday in the middle of the football season ever again? Nick, you are wrong to have made that decision. What do you have to say for yourself?
That's very harsh, mate. That's very, very harsh. That's it. I've not had a holiday for 2 years. A lot of us haven't. The only time I've tried to get away and this happens. What's going on?
I was trying to play the world's smallest violin for you, but it actually looked like I was just doing the money sign.
I've not gained any money coming here. I've actually spent a lot of money coming here. Shall we ask fans if they want to come in now?
Absolutely. You can have your say. So Slavisa, here's something, Nick, I just want to talk about before we get any fans in. Slavisa with his next job, does he fulfil the criteria for reappointment in England or Scotland? Because you need not only the possession of a UEFA Pro licence or equivalent, which he has, but non-UK managers must have had overall responsibility of a club in the top league, which we count as a top league in the Championship, for either 36 months in total or 24 months consecutively. So this is where Alexander Blessing fell foul of the requirements. It's not something I profess to know a great deal about. It certainly won't be my mastermind subject, but might be interesting to keep an eye on where he pops up next, Nick, and if he can pop up next.
Exactly that. I think you've hit the nail on the head there. You don't need my opinion on that, do you?
All right, so we do want your thoughts on what you make of this. Nippon, you're the first one who's joined us. What are your thoughts on today's news, mate?
Look, as a neutral, as an outsider looking in, as one of your commenters said, I feel Big Slav should have been given more time. I think sacking him was the wrong decision.
Okay, why do you feel like that? Do you think that it's because he's got a track record that says he would have got Sheffield United going eventually?
Yeah, precisely.
Okay, it's quite interesting. Do you think also maybe it's nothing to do with on the pitch, because they sort of alluded to that and that maybe they all just disagreed?
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe the players would... Look, Admittedly, I'm not a Sheffield United fan. I'm just giving you my thoughts as a neutral.
Yeah, well, we really appreciate that, Nippon. Thank you very much for joining us. We will get Sean in now. Sean, tell me you're a Blade.
I am, yeah.
All right, there we go. So what are your thoughts on this? How do you feel, mate?
I was shocked at the beginning when it was announced. I was shocked. I was in work. I can see the idea of long-term thinking and thinking that, you know, it's a 3 or 4 year plan. Just whether Heckingbottom's the right guy, I don't understand the appointment whatsoever.
Well, I think it does make sense if you're looking at it from a financial point of view.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and he's already at the club. He knows the club. I guess the ethos and the thinking and the vision is blooding youth. Fans love seeing one of their own, don't they, come through and succeed at the club.
Yeah, I think if they really were in for the long term in terms of the owners, I think, you know, the likes of Farker or someone of that kind of ilk would have been a good shout. But then Slav would have been the best shout in the summer as well. So that's obviously not worked out. But I don't think you can judge him off one window either. I think it was sacked far too early.
But do you give any stock in the, you know, fans that will say the owners did get the best man, the most expensive man that Sheffield United could have attracted in Slavisa Jokanović? They gave him the job. And I think what I'm kind of interpreting, and this is purely just my opinion, they didn't feel when they spoke to him behind closed doors, I would imagine, that he shared their vision. And so actually it was nothing to do with results. They even said if he'd beaten Reading 5-0, he'd still have gone.
Yeah, I remember in the summer, I can't remember who came out and said that he wants to play the same formation that we've been playing for the last couple of years and that fits with our philosophy and all that kind of stuff. And like you said earlier, he started playing a completely different formation, considering the players that we've got that don't suit the system he was trying to implement, especially when he had Brewster on the wing. And I think if you've not got the players, you can't implement that system. And in the last couple of games, I know it's been boring, but going back to three at the back, we've been so much more stable, which I've got a feeling wasn't... I think he was pressurised into doing that. I don't think he wanted to do that. I think the people above him have probably, you know, said you need to start playing this way, and that's obviously caused tension as well. But it's got the results that we needed, albeit not being the most exciting football.
Yeah, it has been dull. It's never dull being a Blade, except for the 90 minutes on a Saturday or a Sunday or a Tuesday or whenever you are playing nowadays. Sean, thank you very, very much for joining us. Mate. Really appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Let's bring in Robert. Robert, one of our American supporters. So, Robert, what have you made of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's your birthday here in America. We are celebrating Thanksgiving. So a lot to be thankful for. But then the news drops and you're like, well, that kind of ruins the day. You know, I'm trying to hang out with the wife's family and everything. And I've got to sneak up here and, you know, talk about and discuss the football club. But I love doing it. You know, I bring my jersey everywhere we go. But yeah, it's a bizarre timing. I think that's my biggest thing that I've taken away is the timing. Obviously, it comes off the back of two positive results where we've swapped back to the formation that this club has used and knows. Where was the disconnect and why now versus at the beginning of the season? You know, why even bring Slav in if, you know, the mentality and the philosophies were this different? It makes me think that somebody back in the summer, either the board or Slav or both, weren't completely 100% honest with their expectations.
Okay. I'm just going to look at some of the comments from the press conference today where the chairman said some interesting things. We hired Slav as a coach. The season has been lackluster. It hasn't evolved as we'd hoped, but the performance is not the reason we're making the change. So what do we read into this? Do you think Slav's comments, some of the stuff he said to the press, that he wasn't, you know, particularly happy with transfer policy, perhaps it came from a difference of vision. What are your thoughts when you hear comments like that, Blades? Let us know that we get rid of the man when it clearly has nothing to do with football.
Yeah, and it, you know, this is, again, one of those things where there's must have been a communication error. There must have been something that the two sides thought they could meet in the middle. Maybe they tried to meet in the middle, you know, Slav saying, hey, just let me play a couple formations, bring me in a couple players and we can make this work. But maybe the board was expecting him to do more on the recruitment front, more on, you know, playing the young players. And the fact that we've sent out three young, bright stars, that's not good. Maybe it's the fact that he played Reese Norrington Davis and Ndai in the youth game instead of in the first team match on that same day. And they're seeing that as going against what the club wants and what the board wants. So it may have been Slab like trying to poke them and see what he could do. And then they were like, nope, you're done. Or it was really just nobody talking to each other. And eventually, you know, ties had to be cut.
Taron, you Blade?
I am U.S. Blade, Seattle. I agree with what was just said. I feel like Slaviso was expressing his opinion. You know, sometimes hard to understand in his interviews, but he was very clear about what he wanted. And I feel like in his interviews, he was kind of making his point public to the board about what he wanted. And probably behind the scenes, he was having arguments with them. And he was trying to get the public on his side by stating his, you know, needs publicly. And they got tired of that and sacked him.
It does appear to be a sacking rather than mutual consent as well. I'll carry on with some of these comments as well from the chairman. We're not making this decision based on one match or the last 19 matches. It's driven by a long-term strategic vision for the club. It rests on three pillars: growing value and capabilities, developing players and staff, and leveraging the synergies of United World. This is also interesting on Paul Heckenbottom. We've signed a contract with him until 2027. That was meant to be 2026. And done things in a contract to keep him for the full duration. So it does sound like they want Hecky now in for the long haul. And you've got a question, you know, I've seen people in the comments say, oh, this was always their plan to bring Hecky in. I can't believe that it was, because I don't think they'd have spent the money on bringing Slav in, bringing all those assistants, and then having to pay them off. What do you think of that?
I think maybe they've gotten scared financially. I don't know. I've just been watching Sunderland Till I Die, and it's not exactly a comparable situation since we're not having a switch in ownership. But I feel like, you know, they've maybe realized they aren't financially sustainable at the championship level, and now, you know, have chosen to, you know, get fiscally conservative and just kind of, you know, rein in the horses and, you know, try and be sustainable, but maybe sacrificing the future a little bit.
Well, we'll see. The future, of course, something none of us can predict, but Aaron in Seattle, go Sounders, go Mariners. Really appreciate you joining us. Abdullah Al-Ghamadi, CEO of United World, based in Switzerland. Al-Ghamadi, I hope I pronounced his surname correctly, a veteran of numerous high-profile marketing campaigns, previously worked for the Saudi Olympic Committee and also the Olympic Council of Asia, where he dealt with media affairs. His quote today, This is money. So this is me out of my comfort zone. We got around £237 million from the TV revenue in four seasons. We spent or invested £430 million, right? That's more. £130 million in transfers. Wow. £200 million on the first team, £50 million on facilities and acquiring, and £50 million on operational costs. We will invest and spend more for sure. And then that makes it quite interesting when you think, okay, so facilities is something that's been mentioned there, because Stephen Bettis, Sheffield United CEO, said there's been a positive discussion with the City Council about a site for a new training ground today. And then you also hear that Darren Smith, the finance expert that we've welcomed on this channel before, wrote some comments that I wanted to share from his Twitter account. He's got more Twitter accounts than me, but one of them, he said, as for appointing Heckey, I think the long contract says it all. He's really impressed everyone at the club, has a very good technical degree level knowledge, and it shows. The intent is clear. No more interfering from the board. Jack, that's Jack Lester, and Heckey are in charge of all football matters. To those that criticise Jan, he's on about Jan van Winkle, Prince Abdullah, Steve Bettis, and so on, you have your wish. No more interference. Those two, Jack and Heckey, and Mitch, Paul Mitchell, head of recruitment, will stand or fall on football decisions. So that's what Darren reckons. One other thing just to throw in is Femi Siriki is back. Hooray. So that's, that loan spell at Beerschot is over. Lewis is with us now. Lewis, you absolute legend, because you are one of our members. You're not one of the freeloaders. What are your thoughts on today?
Surprised by it. I understand why they've sacked him, because of the place we should have been in at the start of the season to where we are now isn't good enough, really. But then the appointment of Heckenbottom, I'm quite taken back by. I don't think it makes much sense going for someone that's struggled at Leeds, struggled at Barnsley. His record isn't great as a first team coach. And I see us slowly falling into a relegation battle, because he won't be backed financially the same way Slav wasn't. But they promised Slav he would be, and
well, you don't know that for sure.
I don't know that, but you'd like to think he was.
Yes, of course. You'd like to think it with any manager.
But he weren't. And now they've got rid of him because whatever, he won't fall into place or whatever it is.
I think that's it. I think if you'd said because results weren't right, yeah, absolutely, I would have definitely disagreed with that. But you're right. It's something else, isn't it? And who knows? It might be similar to the previous manager in Chris Wilder, that we might never know the exact reason. But you mentioned Paul Heckenbottom's managerial record. He was caretaker at Barnsley in 2015 and 2016. And got to be honest, in League One, his record was very good. He won many more games than he lost. I mean, for example, when he, I think it was, okay, so I'm going to try and do the maths here. 26 games played when he was a caretaker, because it hasn't split it up on Wikipedia. he only lost four and won 16. That's not bad. Actually, yeah. So he obviously got a tune out of them then. At Leeds, completely different story. At Hibs, very inconsistent. Sort of won and drew and lost as many as each other. And we know what he did with the Blades in the Premier League. But did you see anything with him in charge in the Premier League that made you think this guy can actually get something out of these players? They're playing for him. He understands the system. He knows the youth players.
Yeah, I suppose that could be something. Did he win three games?
Yes, three games, which you could say three great wins because it's against Premier League opposition. Then you could play devil's advocate and say we had nothing to play for, and the teams we were playing also didn't really have a lot to play for as well. You could be unkind and say that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably what I would say, to be honest.
most people might, but I like to play both sides and just sort of balance it out. But I mean, I try and look at the positives here and see that Heckenbottom, he is now our manager. So whether we like it or not, I think it's only going to benefit the club if we actually get behind him. The board, those are the people that say they don't like some of the members of the board. They've said today they're going to step back because they probably recognise that. And so now we know who is going to be the face of Sheffield United. And we've got a choice as fans. We can back them, and we can hope that Sheffield United win more games than they lose, which is what I always want. Or we can choose another angle, another option. I don't even want to say it out loud. So how are you actually feeling you're going to react to this news today?
I support Sheffield United. I don't support the owners or the manager or whoever. I support the club. And so I'll always back them.
I think a lot of people, Lewis, will agree with what you've just said there. Good words. Thank you, my friend. Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it. We will wrap this up very soon. I will sort of end by saying there's still a lot of questions that need to be answered. You know, as Lewis has quite rightly said there, managers, players, owners, they all come and go, but we all support the badge, don't we? We all support that badge that reads Sheffield United Football Club. I'm going to bring Nick back in and see if his internet is going to hold out for one thought from him as well. Nick, have you got anything you would like to add after hearing those thoughts?
To be honest, I agree with the talking about Slaven. It's been difficult to watch this football. It really has. Players out of position, playing formations not suited to the players. But we've now got a manager that will play the formation that the players can play. It would have been 4 to 6 transfer windows for Slav to get the players that he wanted. We obviously don't have the money to spend on getting rid of players, bringing new players in. So I think this is the right appointment. I'm excited to see 3-5-2 again, having two strikers up the top of the pitch in the Championship. That works. It really does. And it's worked for us in the past. I'm excited to see Morgan Gibbs-White sitting behind the two and not played out on the wing, because I feel like Morgan Gibbs-White could play that Mark Duffy role perfectly, if that's how we're going to play it. We've not Fleck and Norwood and Hourihane. None of them have played particularly well this season. Norwood's done okay. Those are the guys that need to step up. I think the defence looks after itself. I think the big man in the net, League One West, is going to do fantastic stuff. So it's that midfield we've got to sort out, and the strikers need to start scoring goals.
I agree with 63% of what you just said, which for us is pretty good. Thanks to each and every one of you. We will hopefully be back very soon to give you more reaction, to get more of your thoughts, to find out what all of you think, because it's all about fans' opinions on this channel. Nick, I'll leave you so we don't both press things at the same time to press all the buttons.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.